ILI and Influenza Surveillance Methods Workgroup, one of the things that we have found in, or at least in my participation with CSDE, and particularly the newly rebranded Flu and Other Viral Respiratory Pathogens Subcommittee, is just how many of us are doing surveillance differently. And that makes sense, right? Because we've got different jurisdictions, but in how many differences we have, we also have some really important commonalities, and not just the pieces that are nationally notifiable, such as influenza-associated pediatric deaths and novel in cases of influenza. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that this is the culmination of a lot of work by a lot of people, and while I'm having the opportunity to present on it, it is by far and large a really phenomenal group effort where there was a lot of time and effort put into it by other partners. You know who you are here. Okay, so in 2016, the CSDE Influenza and ILI Surveillance Methods Workgroup was convened. It's a collaborative group of applied respiratory disease epidemiologists at state and local health departments across the United States, and it was developed to address an identified need for sharing of best practices related to influenza / ILI surveillance. So we got together and we said, wow, we really love it when we come to CSDE, and we really love it when we go to other conferences and we have these really great exchange of ideas. Hey, what are you doing? How are you doing it? How do I validate that? Can I do that in my state? And we realized that we wanted to have this conversation more than once a year. So that's what this work group was formed to do. So also to identify non-traditional sources of influenza-related data and talk about how to validate that data, how do we know what we're seeing is true, and then determine which sources could be incorporated into current reporting systems such as ILINET, or how this data could be used to guide surveillance initiatives more broadly. And then we wanted to work to establish a standard methodology. So every state and territory has an influenza surveillance coordinator, which, to be honest, is really an influenza and other viral respiratory pathogen surveillance coordinator. And it's kind of daunting when you first get into your job as an entry-level epidemiologist and they say, hey, welcome to the club. You're now the state expert in flu. And by the way, for the most part, it's not a reportable condition, so you can't just rely on the surveillance strategies associated with nationally notifiable diseases. It's really daunting. So we were hoping to create a place where people could come and share what they do, and people could take what they needed and leave what they wanted. So an assessment was developed to document what influenza-related information is collected, analyzed, interpreted, and disseminated in the United States. And that is a lot to ask in one survey. So, for example, what influenza-related events are reportable? We know that some things are nationally notifiable, but many states have things that are reportable without them being nationally notifiable that allow states to conduct that surveillance. So what are they doing? How are they doing it? What systems and methods are used to acquire that information? How is the information used in decision-making? We're all applied epidemiologists, so for us, the next step, the data, is always, so what? So we want to know how people are using that information. If we're going to ask our, if we're going to ask taxpayers, so if we're going to ask ourselves and the population to fund our work, we need to turn it around into something meaningful for them, a meaningful intervention, a meaningful action. So how do we get that information to make that those decisions? How do we disseminate it to our stakeholders? Who are our stakeholders, and how do we get it to them? And then, what was our satisfaction level with these systems? How are they meeting our needs? Are they meeting our needs? Surveillance questions change over time, and surveillance needs change over time. And so what was a system that was phenomenal 10 years ago might not be a really phenomenal system anymore. So it was distributed via Qualtrics, and a huge, massive thank you to CSDE and Monica Schrader and the people that worked with her to put this assessment together in Qualtrics. That was not a simple process. And then state coordinators were asked to coordinate with relevant staff within their health department, so it was one answer per health department or territory. So we got 51 responses. That's a 94.4% response rate. We were very happy with that. Thank you all very much. I know that it took probably more than the 20 minutes we were hoping it would take, so thanks again. So now let's talk about data sources and surveillance systems. So respondents were asked to identify what sources of influence and ILI data were employed in their jurisdiction. And the systems that were most widely reported were ILINET, 100%, makes sense. We're almost entirely funded on ELC Flu to maintain this system. Some sort of syndromic surveillance platform. Laboratory results from public health laboratories, once again, this makes sense. We're funded to do this work through the ELC Cooperative Agreement. Interestingly enough, laboratory from non-public health laboratories, so this can be part of NERVS, for example, is a good example of this, of hospital laboratories. But a lot of states were doing a lot more than just that. And what this signals is that there's interest and demand, just like with RSV, for states to expand their surveillance capabilities beyond simply some of the existing funding mechanisms that we have. And then case and outbreak investigations. Now, the other thing I'll have you pay attention to is just how long this list is of places where we can get information on flu data. It's huge. And there's more than what's written up there. So, I mean, look at 25% said that there was at least one other system that we didn't even have listed there. And that's a lot. So let's talk about usefulness. So respondents indicated how useful the systems used within their jurisdiction for general influence-associated situational awareness. So what's going on? Are we on the increase? Are we on the decrease? Are we in season, out of season? So examples for those were ILINET, Essence platform, and laboratory results, and these were the ones that were the most useful, right? Really interesting in there is just, once again, not necessarily the pieces that that exist in every state, but just how useful surveillance systems are being utilized, like syndromic surveillance, that are not, for the most part, just pathogen-specific to influenza or ILI. Just how much those systems were being leveraged. So what this means, and I already knew this, and I'm sure most of you did already, but that flu surveillance coordinators are really creative people that are doing a lot of leveraging of other systems to figure out what's happening in their states. So the other piece was just how interesting other special studies were. So these are other partnerships. The example here is IISP, which has now been, the methodology has been changed a bit and rebranded into ARES, but this is just a small little surveillance system that yields really interesting positive data, and not just on flu. So let's talk about timeliness and completeness. So we asked states and territories to report on the perceived timeliness of the data resulting from the systems utilized in their jurisdiction. And systems that were most frequently identified as timely enough among those who used those systems were syndromic surveillance, primarily through Essence, but those were the most timely, special studies, and laboratory reports. Systems that were most frequently reported to provide complete enough data. Remember, we're making a lot of decisions not based on all of the data available, but just the data available right now. And that's a really important consideration there. So for there, the complete data was the laboratory results. So what that means is that there's a lot of demand for the virologic data and how to improve virologic data, special studies, and FluSurveNet. So this is just a graph comparing those two together, looking at all the different platforms. You know, what's interesting here is just, once again, the leveraging and investment of states in systems that are more general and not as pathogen specific. So, okay. So plans for development. So this is, we said, okay, so what do you find that's more complete? What do you find that's more timely? How do you make your decisions? Where are you basing your data on? And now that you have your current data, what do you want to invest in? What do you want to work on? What do you want to hear about, right? So the respondents here were asked to identify data systems or sources that they were interested in developing or enhancing within their jurisdiction. And one of the things that you'll see is that we are absolutely still interested in putting time and effort into older systems, so systems like ILINET, but the vast majority are interested in multi-pathogen sources of data, So more than just flu. So you see interest in investing in nerves. You also see interest in investing in syndromic data and virology. We want specimens, we want lab reports, and apparently we want to test them for everything. So here's the conclusions of this, is that this assessment, I wanted to pay back, well, we as a group wanted to pay back the investment of time and effort that we asked all states and territories to put into doing this assessment by creating real, meaningful actions that result from it. Writing up this report, finalizing this data, and presenting it to you is part of that, but it's by a long stretch, not the whole of it. So it was a first step. We hope to be able to refine this kind of evaluation and do it regularly so that we can better serve our community. So as the CST working group to better serve our public health practice community. So there's a need for knowledge and knowledge share to move the field forward and shape the future of influenza surveillance as a community of practice. So that's really cool because a couple of years ago, our CST flu working group was not as cohesive as it is now. There's so many initiatives coming out right now, not the least of which you should all fill out once it comes to your desk, is the RSV surveillance. And I'm shouting out Erin here because Audrey Kunk's not here also. She just had a baby. But Erin is here, and you shall be getting an assessment on RSV surveillance in your state, which I know Myla will be very interested in very soon. So we're excited about that. So what are we doing with this? So we have all this information. We've identified all these fantastic people that are doing really great things. I'm looking at you, Julie Hand, in the back, from Louisiana, doing a great job with IslandNet recruitment and retention. Now what? So the first piece is getting those experiences out. We've provided two webinars so far. Dave Atrabin was kind enough to present on how to use Essence Florida for, or not Essence Florida, because y'all won't have Essence Florida, but Essence, for ILI and flu surveillance. And Julie presented on how to improve retention and recruitment of IslandNet sentinels in the area, in your state. We're creating a methods guidance document, and before you get all invested in that, this is just a first step. This guidance document is for, hi, welcome, you're the new flu surveillance coordinator in North Dakota, Florida. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? What kind of questions are you asking yourself? Here's a place to start, right? So it's absolutely not supposed to be any kind of seminal religious text on the be-all, end-all of influenza and ILI surveillance. It's not supposed to be daunting. So we do a webinar, and then we spend a little bit of time writing up that webinar, getting other experiences together so that we can create just a first step. Start here, then go wherever you want. So I just want to say once again, thank you so incredibly much to the CSTE Influenza and ILI Surveillance Methods Work Group and leadership. CSTE has been an incredible organizing nexus force for us to get our stuff together. We have a lot of really phenomenal scientists that work on these groups, and sometimes we're a hard bunch to wrangle. I know, shocking everyone. And CSTE has done an incredible job of supporting us in that wrangling and organizing and allowing us to create something by us, for us, reflective of us. So thank you very much, everybody. And I really appreciate you guys sticking it out with us on the Wednesday at the last session of the day. So.
Any questions for Heather?